Hello and welcome back to Attention Recession. Hi, Nicola. How
Hi, good
are
morning.
you
Well, it's
doing
1 p.m.
today?
here, but it feels like morning.
1 p.m. on a Sunday is technically morning, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
How was your weekend?
It's been good. We actually are entertaining at home 2 nights in a row, which
Okay.
is interesting.
Okay. Nice.
So yesterday we took a really long walk to Whole Foods to buy like groceries. And it was fun. We ran into a friend who was just like at a cafe, and that's always cute to just like run into a friend and be like, "Oh, what are you doing?" Like, "Oh, we're going to the grocery store. What are you doing?" And yeah, went to the grocery store on the weekend, which is always interesting. And then yeah, I had a friend over. That was fun. And then we're having different friends over tonight, a friend who adopted a puppy not that long ago, a new puppy's gonna
Cute.
come over and play with our
Oh,
dog.
that's gonna
And
be epic.
I know. And they kind of look like each other, sort of. And I'm just like, I just feel like they're gonna be like, I really feel like they are gonna be besties. And
Like
I just feel
father and
really good about
son.
it. So I was like, we're getting this recording out of the way, and then I'm getting ready for Girly. That's the dog's name. And
So cute. There's nothing better
Girly.
in this world than when your friend gets a puppy because
I
you get to
know.
enjoy it and you know that that dog like isn't like you don't have to take
Yeah.
care of it when it grows up.
I
You just
know.
get
She's
the
so
puppy time.
cute. She's like a
Oh.
Chihuahua rat terrier mix, like under 10 pounds, but not like, she has some meat on her. She's not like a little, like
Yeah.
you could
Little
lose it
rat.
in your purse. Yeah. And she's like black. And huge big ears and wears like a little stud collar. She's so cute.
Oh, I've been like
I
yearning
know.
to get a kitten so badly. Like this is my like late 20s like baby fever. I'm like I
Yeah.
want a little kitty so badly. But
Yeah.
in due time.
I want to get a little brother or sister for my dog, but we're in a studio apartment right now, so
Yeah.
not until we move on up.
Yeah, that would be a lot of animals. They would overpower you guys for sure.
It's a little weird. It's just a bit weird. It turns you into a weird person to
What? Too
have
many
two
animals
pets in
and
a studio. Yeah.
That is so funny. I
How's your
love
weekend?
that.
Oh, can we talk about the party you went to?
Yes, so I had the
Okay.
most eventful weekend I've probably had in a long time. Just one day of it, honestly, but that's all I need. So, I got to be a plus one for a Grammys party. And that was just, first of all, I'm like, this was just like my dream my entire life to even be like associated in any way with the Grammys. Like I just used to love music and pop stars and whatever. So this was like really feeding my inner child, but yeah, we found out like last week that we were going to be able to go. And so I like went into high gear picking out like outfits and doing all of that. And it was very fun. At first we thought it was going to be like the official after party for the Grammys, which sent me into like a panic attack. I was like, that is so star-studded. I just even like trying to look good for that, like with people with professional hair and makeup artists and all of it, that freaked me out. But then it ended up being a pre-Grammys party, which was kind of like a party to celebrate like the next generation of like artists and like producers and like the people who like truly make the music, you know? So
The young people party.
yeah, it was a lot of like influencers in the end, which was pretty funny. But yeah, I like technically wasn't supposed to do like the like red carpet of it all, but I kind of finessed my way into it, and I was very proud of myself for that. It was really funny. So I went as like a plus one, and they, have a lot more clout. So they're like, we're like ushered to the front with like people with like walkie-talkies and like their name written on like a whiteboard and like the whole thing. And yeah, then we get to like the front and like the red carpet area, and a lot of the other plus ones like went around and like met their like person at the end of the red carpet. But I like turned to the girl like with the whiteboards and I was like, hey, like, is it cool if I just like go through? And she's like, yeah, that should be fine. I was like, okay. And then I like move up like two people. And then I see another girl with a whiteboard and walkie talkie. I was like, hey, she just told me that I should like go through. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, like, let's get you a whiteboard and, like, whatever. And I was
yeah.
And so great. We did it. And it was just, like, it felt like just, like, a dream come true. Just, like, standing there and having these, like, photographers, like, shouting my name, even though they have no idea who I am.
They have
just,
no like, idea. They're like, over here, they're like,
Jasmine,
over here.
Jasmine, to the right, to the right. I was like,
yeah.
I had this moment where I was like, this is what I've dreamed of. Like, this is it. This is my moment. And
those moments are nice too, because it's like, even if it's like you're kind of having like a small scale grifter moment, you're kind of like preparing yourself for like, you're like, now I have this practice in. So when it is like the real moment where I'm actually like celebrating something I'm proud of and like, you know, being photographed on a red carpet that's like about something like greater than.
Totally.
A photo or whatever. At least it won't be my first time because I did it now.
Exactly. And like my delusional energy, I'm like, I feel at home here. This feels so correct. They better remember my name. This is just, I'm like all these influencers behind me. I'm like, you guys have no idea. I'm right around the corner. I'm about to blow up.
That's cool. How are the drinks? How is the food? How is the ambiance?
It was good. So when we got in, we ended up getting there pretty early. And what was crazy is we had been originally in this VIP line and there was like this other couple that we knew. And so they were in line with us, but then we got separated as we went up to like go take the photos and whatever. So yeah, we ended up getting in pretty early. It was pretty empty. Drinks were good. They had like different drinks. Like they gave us little drink chips so we could get like, you know, free drinks. And yeah, they're classic, like passed around like little tiny, like little mac and cheese, a little french fry. And so I ate like six of those. That was like my dinner, which was delicious. And then, yeah, it didn't start to fill up until like 10 p.m. We got there around like 8-ish. And it wasn't until then that the people that we had been in line with originally had just gotten in. And they were in line for 2 hours to only
get
like one picture.
That's the benefits of going early.
Yeah, but no, it was just like for some reason like we ended up being like brought to the front and everything, but they like equally, I don't know, it was just like crazy. I was like, wow, I would not have waited 2 hours. It was like ended up being 2.5 hours to like get in. I was like, that is
wow
crazy. So yeah, then by like 10 p.m. it started to like fill up and it was fun. They like set up like all these cute little areas and it was just interesting. Like, it could have been, like, a good, like, networking opportunity, but, like, you can kind of feel the room, and you're like, I don't know if this is, like, people are kind of here to party a little bit, and, like, they're with their friends, and, like, so, yeah, I was, like, pretty happy to just, like, keep to myself and, like, have some drinks and food and just, like, be in my cute little outfit, and, yeah, then we went home by, like, 10:30, 11, and it was just perfect. I don't know.
Nice.
And this was actually my first time drinking alcohol, like having a full drink since last summer.
Wow.
So this was like my big return back to society because I stopped drinking because it was like contributing to like vertigo and I just like wanted to be as toxin free as possible. So yeah, this was like Jazz's big night out. It was good. I actually was like very excited to like feel like tipsy again and to have like a little like fruity drink and to like I don't know, this was the first time in so long that I've been at a party and just like felt at ease and like felt like I could actually like enjoy myself and like have a little drink and like not feel like social anxiety in that way. And I think a big part of that is like, I don't know, like I do really well when I go to like a party or event, like with like a buddy, you know what I mean? With like one person that's like knows me so well, I feel really comfortable with them and we get to kind of just like run around together, I guess, rather than like you're with a friend group and everyone wants to do different things. And there's just like a lot of energy in that way that, or you're with someone that you don't know super well. So it's you're navigating those social dynamics while also trying to, like, be at the party, you know?
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I had a very great night, and I was really happy about that. It's been a long time since I've been able to, like, go out like that. So, yeah, that's awesome. Feeling good.
Yeah. Did you notice that, like, in the morning, did you notice the alcohol at all?
No, honestly, I ended up having, I think, 1.5 or 2 drinks. And so I was, like, so sober by the time I got home. I had a ton of water and, like, yeah, I felt great. Yeah.
I only asked because I did my, like, dry – well, okay, we didn't do the whole January, but we did. We did a nice 2.5 weeks. But mm-hmm. I've been noticing what's different, and, like, I've been noticing, like, I actually – a lot of times when I think I want to drink, I'm like, actually, I just want to smoke weed. Like, I just like weed so much better. And what I – the feeling that I want, that I think I want from alcohol, is not that. Yeah. I actually have realized I don't really want – I think I want a drink, but I'm actually just as happy to just sip on something that's, like, kind of fun to drink and it doesn't need to be alcohol, which is interesting. And I definitely can feel it in my brain, like, the next day more. And yeah,
it's really interesting. Like, I've gone, like, sober for long periods of time, like, so many times throughout my life. And it's just, like, the only time alcohol has been, like, desired or, like, necessary, it's like if you're actually trying to, like, get drunk on a night out, like, at the club, like, whatever. Like, otherwise, I don't know. Yeah, I like weed is nice too, because it just makes you feel, like, relaxed, and I feel like that's what people are actually seeking. Like, it's the weekend, I want to unwind, I want to be a little silly, and I just want to, you know.
So
I think it's just important to listen to how you feel, you know, with certain stuff, because sometimes
I love taking a break. I love doing a little self-experiment. I love seeing how it feels to take something away and then go back to it. I got to come up with, like, another experiment to do next.
Ooh, interesting.
I thought about it being weed, and then I was like, no.
You're like, actually, I love myself, I like, so I'm not doing that.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, February, it's the shortest month of the year. What could I do? Like, and I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Is there anything else you feel like you need to detox from? I feel like you have great boundaries recently, though, with, like, phone, social. Like, I feel like you're pretty balanced, like, not needing, like, a big detox.
I don't really feel like I need to take things away. I think there's things I could bring back in. Like, I've really gotten out of journaling. I've gotten out of, I've been okay with, like, activity and fitness and stuff, but I definitely can, like, accidentally become kind of sedentary. And
Me too.
It's, like, more like stuff that I need to add into my life rather than, like, anything I need to take out.
Do you want to hear a journaling life hack?
Let's hear it.
It is actually an AI life hack. So,
oh no,
we are going to get into AI conversations, but this is actually pretty funny. Have you ever used ChatGPT?
Yes.
Okay. You can ask ChatGPT for very specific journal prompts.
Mm.
And so, like, here's, like, an example. Like, maybe one day you're not feeling very confident, or you want to, like, unpack something. Like, maybe it's making you, like, depressed to look in the mirror. You can, like, literally type to ChatGPT, like, give me 10 journal prompts for feeling self-conscious when I, like, look at myself or something. And it gives you, like, really good prompts. And so I've been really liking that for just, like, a hyper-specific moment. And because obviously you can just free journal yourself, but, like, these actually, like, get you thinking. Cool. It'll be like, when's the first time you ever felt like this? And I'm like, whoa. So it makes you kind of, like, you know what I mean? It has been, like, a very interesting experiment. So I've been using that. I'll, like, copy and paste it to, like, Google Docs and just kind of, like, explore my mind.
I did one time I told ChatGPT, like, I was like, write a story about a girl who, and then I told it a couple of things that had happened to me, like, especially, like, relationship stories, like, meets a guy who, and I told a couple of things, and
Wait,
then
that's
I asked
so funny.
it, to write, I was like, write a 500 word story about this. And it filled it out. And I was like, whoa, my life is so predictable. Because ChatGPT kind of could like figure out the general contours of like how the relationship like didn't wind up working out.
That is so funny. Were you like asking for it to do like the outcome of the situation?
I was doing like, okay, I'm going to think of one in
particular.
This is my COVID relationship. I was like, a girl and a guy meet.
I'm screaming. This is so like, if I was 15, you could not get this away from me. I'd be on it like, girl meets guy in seventh grade math class. Like, what happens?
Yeah. And I was like, write a 500. I mean, it keeps a log of this, so I probably could go back and find it. But I was like, write a 500 word story about a girl and a guy meet on Tinder and have like a great date. But then he has to go back to his country because it's COVID. So they're talking every day, but then he stops responding as often.
ChatGPT is like, move on.
He's like, and ChatGPT is like, and then his messages became fewer and fewer between. Like, I don't know. I did it with like a couple of relationships where I just like gave it the basic contours and it pretty much filled it out. And it's just so funny because it's just like, we think our lives are so unique, but we live such like, you know, that things just happen so formulaically. Like, I don't know. That
kills me. There's also this trend that I've been seeing going around like TikTok and the internet where like a couple, or usually the girl is instigating this, obviously, will put in like a text message thread from like an argument and ask ChatGPT like who's in the wrong.
Wow. And
like, or like, is this person gaslighting me? Or like, or some people are using it constructively. They do it as a couple. They're like, how can each person grow from this? And they're like, well, this person gets a little bit defensive and this person is a little bit accusatory and blah blah blah. Like, ChatGPT is out here manipulating relationships. I don't know.
That's fascinating. Yeah, it could be your kind of like your third party.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on something like ChatGPT? Do you have an opinion? In general? Yeah. Some people are very against it. Some people use it a lot. I'm a moderate user. And it's fun. I like kind of feel guilty because I feel like there's so many problems with AI, and we're going to get into some of that today, but
I think it's a tool.
It's very useful, you know? Yeah.
I think, like, I don't know. AI doesn't, like, I don't feel deep fear about AI for some reason. I don't have an instinctual, I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I do feel an instinctual horror. I don't, as a writer, I don't fear AI because I think that I know that as a writer, my skill isn't putting words on the page. My skill is like seeing from above, you know? And I know that AI can never see from above. Like, it can
and
only...
also being a person with experiences that you're pulling from. You know what I mean? Like, a real human being.
Like, I know that AI can never put disparate ideas together. It can only rehash existing ideas. So I don't really worry about it like in that way. But when I think about what it will do, because we talk about this at work, obviously, like using it in, for various ways, and when I think about like how it will change the work that I'm in, I think the skill set is that there's going to be a lot more editors and a lot less writers, because I think there's going to be a lot more editing of AI text. And I think there's going to be like a skill set across all industries of people who are really good at talking to the AI to get back what they want from it, whether that's words or images or code or whatever your industry is. And then I think that there's going to be another skill set of people who are the overseer, fine-tune editor, whether that's visual editing, words editing. Those are the two like kind of skill sets I see like that will be more Like, if you're going to pump out a Law and Order script, you're going to need someone who knows how to speak to the AI and ask for what it wants. And then you're going to need a script editor who can oversee all those scripts and make sure that they're, you know, not, there's not something in there that doesn't make sense or doesn't align with the last script or whatever.
Yeah, because we're already seeing the effects of, you know, companies overusing AI to like maybe write copy and like not looking it over, and it's just bad, you know, like,
yeah,
I do believe there is always going to have to be someone at least managing the quality. But yeah, I do think it sounds like a helpful tool for editing, because like I'm sure it can pick up all the grammar and the like spelling errors and whatever.
Yeah,
I guess it's like Google Docs does that, I guess, too.
I use Grammarly, that plugin, all the time, but it's also wrong a lot. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, there's a lot of times it makes a suggestion where it thinks it needs like the or in front of something, and it doesn't understand that like that is wrong in this case, because it's like, oh, I'm writing about a fashion thing, and actually like in English vernacular we don't say like a pant, we just say pants or whatever it might be. Like, it's so very flawed. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of AI, some recent social media news that has just happened this last week. UMG, which is like a major music label, they rep Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, Olivia Rodrigo, like pretty much all of the top artists, recently removed their music from TikTok over a battle about AI. So they couldn't come to an agreement. From what I've gathered, I think it's that there's a lot of kind of AI music happening on TikTok. Like, people will take like Taylor Swift's voice and make her sing like a Harry Styles song, you know?
Oh.
Like, there's kind of a lot of edits like that, like just for fun. But obviously a lot of artists don't want anyone making music from their, you know, AI music of them. Like, that's fair. Yeah, they couldn't come to a conclusion, so they removed all of the music from those artists. So even like Taylor Swift's page is like all muted now. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this affects the music industry. I don't know.
I looked it up, and UMG, which is Universal Music Group, put out an open letter. Why we must call a timeout on TikTok, which is really funny. One thing that was interesting, they said the majority of content on TikTok contains music, which is what makes it different in their business from any other major social platform like Twitter, Instagram, anything else. And the contract that they had with TikTok expired January 31st. So they basically let the contract expire. Okay. And this letter addressed three issues. The first was about paying artists and songwriters. The second was, quote, protecting human artists from AI. Yeah. And the third was online safety for TikTok users, which they didn't get into at all in the letter. So I don't know. That sounds like some fake, like, corporate blah, blah, blah. But I thought it was very interesting that TikTok accounts for about 1% of their total revenue, which is insane. And they really were like, most of the open letter was about the payment stuff, because it's just like TikTok is low, not,
don't you think?
It's shameful. I mean, like, that's psycho.
Do you think that's like incorrect, like an incorrect statistic they're giving?
No. I just think that TikTok is paying like a disgustingly low amount of money. And I think
I get that. Okay.
I think that more than AI, I think this is about money and about.
Got it.
That they're like, well. And the first thing that this made me think about, I do want to come back to the AI bit, but the first thing this made me think about is, like, you know, on reality shows, they have like generic music where it's just like the like most generic.
Sunset. I'm going to the club to get some shoes. It's like
obsessed. I love it. AI-written
music.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if people feel like they can just make their content to generic music, or if they really need it to be a Taylor Swift song.
I feel like TikTok was built as a music app originally. Yes. And I feel like the actual songs are so important for a lot of the content people are making. Not if you're making like a silly trend or whatever, but like it really is like a place where people come together and talk about certain songs or like how much a song meant to them and whatever. I'm still seeing like ways around the contract. Like people use sped up versions, which I think is considered like a different version of the song, so it doesn't count. I think
that counts as AI, like yeah. I bet they count that as like
yeah,
but then it's like couldn't you count like what's AI and what's DJing, you know what I mean? Like what if you do a remix?
Well, some artist, Sabrina Carpenter, is very smart. She had a single that was really popular, and then she published her own sped up version of that song.
Yeah.
So that she could like get the royalties from that. But yeah, I obviously think they should be paying their artists to use their songs. And I think it's just going to be a really interesting time. The only silver lining that I can see to this is going to be a huge opportunity for independent musicians and people like to get their music out there that aren't like a Taylor Swift, you know? So I think that could be a huge opportunity in the meantime while they're hashing all of this out. But
I don't think they'll make any money off of it.
The artists won't, but they might get like, you know, famous free off exposure of like a song. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Cause like,
maybe,
you know, if there isn't like 20 Taylor Swift songs being used for like a whatever, it could be more likely that someone's, you know, independent music could be popular.
But then, as far as the AI bit, I don't know. I was like, kind of confused what they were – I didn't really understand what they were talking about in this, but
yeah,
maybe it's the using people's voices.
Yeah.
Like
– I'm like
– I don't know.
UMG, you don't want a SpongeBob singing Taylor Swift's All Too Well 10-minute version on TikTok?
Yeah.
Like that's art, you know? Like there's just so much –
I just wonder
like, –
because it's like – once something is put out into the public domain, like, yes, there's copyright. But now that we have these new tools and things get spun out into, like, it kind of reminds me of, like, when they were trying to – when, like, LimeWire came out and people were, like, downloading music illegally and they didn't know how to, like, regulate that. Because what are they going to do? Like, every person who used LimeWire put the – you know, like,
goes to jail.
It kind of feels like – what are they going to do? Like, the toothpaste is out of the tube. I don't know how – besides just being like, well, we're just not going to put our artist music on this app. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think TikTok's kind of like
– TikTok doesn't give a fuck about anyone.
Yeah. Like, you need us. We don't need you. We don't need to pay you more.
That I feel – like, I don't think TikTok will be that damaged by this. They're kind of damaging their own platform by the sheer amount of advertisements that they're doing. Like, I will be scrolling on TikTok, and, like, for every 10 videos, at least 4 of them I scroll away are, like, ads. Like, it's so bad.
And this actually all ties into this piece in the New York Times that John Caramonica, who is – future ex-husband, he's a pop culture critic who I just like. There was this guy at my coffee shop I went to for a while who he kind of looked like him, and I had such a crush on this
who I don't know who this is. I'm gonna Google him.
He's just an iconic music writer who's been around for a long time, and like kind of his friends of friends, so I always feel a little creepy, like but I am just like, I don't know, I just think he's funny and smart.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wrote about TikTok. Have we reached the end of TikTok's infinite scroll? And he did touch quite a bit about the music bit of TikTok, which is interesting because we don't usually talk about that piece of it when we talk about TikTok, but one part that he said, he basically said, like, he's kind of saying what – it's interesting because this was published, like, the day after we recorded our last episode where you, Jazz, kind of said the same thing. So he said, basically it's a confluence of like, one, the TikTok shop, but he also said the site is seeing is also seeing diminishing utility as an organic music discovery vehicle, weakening its connection to the one major entertainment industry that's come to rely on it the most. Which was very, yeah, that's interesting. But I do think that that phrasing says it well, because it's like, yeah, music relies on TikTok, not the other way around.
Yeah.
But yeah, he says, like, TikTok shop came out in September, and he said, the speed and volume of the shift has been startling. Over time, Instagram became glutted with sponsored content and buy links, but its shopping interface never derailed the overall experience of the app. TikTok shop has done that in just a few months, spoiling a tremendous amount of goodwill in the process. And I just was like, I was like, as usual, nail on the head. Like, that's what it is, where it's just like, it seems like, yeah, it spoiled a lot of goodwill very, very fast. Because, yeah, we all kind of got a little, like, bored. You know, Facebook was spoiled. Instagram got blah. Whatever, whatever. But, like, this did seem like it happened fast.
Yes. Yeah, and I really agree with what he said. Like, Instagram ads would happen in between the content that I was that was already being pushed out. But TikTok, like, the actual content itself is changing because they are – primarily promoting TikTok shop videos. So it feels like now your feed that was once content personalized to you is now advertisements for things that you do not want or need or have ever expressed a desire for. And it's interesting too. I also feel like, in my opinion, Instagram always felt very like voyeuristic to me. It felt like you are kind of outside looking at what's happening in the world or what your friends are doing. It really feels like you're staring into a window. Whereas TikTok always felt like a community. It felt like we're all in this small little world together, and we talk about things and we stitch each other's videos and we interact and we have inside jokes that go on for like layers and layers. And so I think TikTok changing the actual content that's happening is ruining kind of the entire purpose of the app for a lot of us, you know. So if we aren't able to see content that we actually want, we don't get to engage in the community, and this is pointless to us now, you know.
Yeah, why does everything have to be shopping?
I don't, it's just everyone wants to be the next Amazon, you know. Amazon Prime. That's what TikTok has been trying to do, is like these quick purchase, like drop shipping, like products. They also had a lot of issues. People were saying a lot of skincare products that they would buy off TikTok shop would be fake. So they would be a fake formula that is not actually the same ingredients and in the exact same packaging of like skincare products that we know and love, you know. And the interface just sucks also. I'm like, if you're going to shove this in my face, don't make it look so gimmicky. I think that's a problem. Like, it literally looks like I'm on like AliExpress.com.
Yeah, it's, you know, really bad.
It's like $24.68. And it's just like, they even have these pop-up ads that's like, spin the wheel to win a 50% discount. And I'm like, what is this? This looks like an app that you know, like one of those shitty game apps that you download. Like, yeah, it's just full of really poor quality gimmick. It just looks like a gimmick, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm getting an Instagram ad, it's like a editorial photo shoot of like athleisure. You know what I mean? It's like, at least it's quality. Yeah, it's like you're not getting shit. Yeah.
Yeah, because the TikTok shop kind of defaults you into being in like this like little kid land, where it's like, if you're not a little kid, you're like, oh, I'm an elevated lady with like good taste and I wear cashmere. Like, why am I looking at this like hot pink and purple 40% off? Like, I'm confused. This doesn't reflect how I envision myself at all.
Yeah. And it makes you question like why you're on this app. And like, I find myself having to scroll so many times through the ads just to get a couple funny videos. And
yeah.
Yeah. And I saw another video last night that reflected how I feel. This girl was talking about how, like, you know, like the algorithm has flattened personality and all of this has been like a conversation, but she was talking about how, yeah, kind of what we talked about last time, how people are trapped in a loop and we're all talking about the same things because everyone is just trying to go viral. And it's just so funny to like say these things on like the podcast like last week, and I'm like seeing so many videos about it like now. It's just like, I think everyone is feeling the same fatigue of it. So I'm really curious what's gonna happen. I don't know.
Yeah, like how do we break out? I've been kind of thinking almost like, I've been thinking about almost, I feel like it's like the opposite in a way about how everyone can experience different, like people can get into a show from 30 years ago and like it can have a moment, or you right. can have your own moment with old content. And how everyone's living on their own timeline, and something can feel so big in your world and then not matter at all to the person next to you. And like that there's so many timelines going on at once, you know, like.
Yeah. How do you think that plays a role in this?
It's, I think it's like one thing that actually feels like really truly new and different about our times, because I don't think, like, you've always been able, and I mean not always, but for a very long time, yes, you've been able to go buy like an old DVD or like get into an old movie or whatever, but not to like, I don't know, like there's something different about being able, like, you can just be like, I'm gonna spend this entire year immersed in the year 2007 or something like that, and like only watch 2007 content or something, like, and you in a way can, I don't know what I'm trying to say about this at all, but I guess it's just something that's been in my mind, that you can really like shape and craft
your world,
reality, yeah. And you can really kind of like ignore or cultivate like your own timeline that you're living on, that can be even completely different than the person you're living with, you know?
Oh, totally. I mean, if you look at everyone's individual like For You page on TikTok, everyone has completely different videos. What you think is like going viral is like only going viral to like the people who are interested in the exact same things that you are.
Yeah.
Which I think those is why TikTok felt so special to a lot of us. It's like we were able to feel so seen. Like a very popular comment is always like, wow, the For You page is For You paging, and like, wow, they said For You page. It's like people felt so deeply like targeted. And yeah, I feel like this must have been TikTok's plan all along. Like, we're going to get so much fucking information on these people and their exact, like, niche and everything they're interested in, and then serve them ads. But, like, now those ads are not relevant to anyone. So it's like...
Yeah.
But a lot of people do, not me personally, but a lot of people are buying things from TikTok Shop.
I'm sure they are.
And,
I mean...
It's also interesting. Yeah. I do think the one thing that, at least for now, we'll keep TikTok going, is that TikTok gives you a unique ability to attempt to be famous in private. And what I mean by that is, like, you can become a content creator, or even just, like, if there's a funny video of your dog, you can post it to TikTok and it can go viral. And you can have that experience without doing it in front of your peers, because you know, in order to experiment with being seen and making a video and posting something that, like, I don't know, a big majority of people feel very cringe posting content on social media. Like, they're really in a hole where they're like, I only can post what I'm doing with my friends and my family. Anything else is too cringy. It looks like I'm trying. Whatever. So TikTok, I feel like, always served as this place that was like private from your peers, but you like could get famous. And I think that's an appeal that Instagram does not have for people. Instagram is all your peers and everyone you've ever met in the last like 20 years or whatever. And I think for that reason, people are going to continue posting on TikTok just because there is the chance to be famous, which I feel like is so many people's like secret desire, you know, is, I don't know. I think that's why people hate on influencers so much, is because like so many people like want that life for themselves. And I see this happening like all the time, you know, I don't know.
It's I wonder if the fear of being cringe though is maybe a protection mechanism that like it's like a survival mechanism that maybe you should listen to. Like maybe if there's something in your little voice that's saying like, this is embarrassing to me, this goes against something inside of me, feels this is wrong, something inside of me is uncomfortable with this act, like maybe you should listen to it. Maybe you should only do things that you feel truly aligned with.
Yeah. I mean, because that's interesting. Like, I do social media consulting with people, and, you know, there's people who want to create content and they ask me, and they're like, how can I, like, post stuff and whatever? And, like, there's kind of a fear of them even kind of showing up online in that way. And it's hard. Like, there's tools I can give them, and we do that, but it's also, and like, it can be a skill that you build, but also, it just takes a certain personality to want to show up in that way and to just post about themselves all the time. Like, even pre-TikTok, when I like didn't really have that many Instagram followers either, I was still talking to the camera and like taking videos and posting on my story. Like, I was just like, oh my God, guys, I went to the grocery store today. And like, I was just like still doing that. And so, because that was just like my personality, to just be like an attention whore on my stories, like, and just take videos of myself with, after having no human contact that day. I was just kind of like,
yeah,
into that, you know. And I always watched YouTubers growing up and like loved that. So yeah, like getting on TikTok felt like a very natural thing. It wasn't like it takes getting used to like making videos, and like obviously that's a learning curve, but for a lot of people, there's a certain personality trait that cannot be taught, of just wanting to, like, I don't know. We even look at like someone like Julia Fox, we've talked about in the past. It's like, you couldn't teach someone to be Julia Fox, you know? Like, there's just certain people that have the personality type to show up like that. But yeah, I don't know. Do you want to hear something crazy that I just heard?
Yeah.
So, I just recently learned, so my boyfriend is friends with this guy who has a younger sister who's in either middle school or high school. Maybe she's probably around like 13, 14 years old, something around that age. They're dealing with so many problems. The funny one, I'll start with that, then we'll get into the one that's pretty dark. But the funny one is that they think it's cringe to be on the main feed, but they want to have their curated profile. So they'll post a photo and then immediately archive it and unarchive it. So it takes it off of the feed. Yes. So they don't want to be on that main feed anymore. They only want to be on their like profile. So they will like immediately archive it because they think it's cringe to like show up on the homepage. Like it's like asking for like attention or like try hard or whatever.
But then it won't have any likes. So it'll be like,
yeah,
they'll have a profile, but it'll be like zero, like no one likes any of the pictures.
Pretty much. I mean, they don't care about that, I guess. I think maybe they turn the likes off. So they're kind of just making like a Tumblr feed, maybe. I don't know. It's
interesting.
Yeah. So that's
very interesting.
Very interesting, that mindset that they've taken like cringe like that far. Like, oh, I think that's a huge thing behind this cringe. Like, people don't want to be seen trying, and I don't think that's, like, a good thing, you know?
I want to know what else is on, like, what is on their feed that they're seeing that's kind of, like, cringe. Or, like, I wonder what else, like, who they follow.
Right.
And, like, what they're comparing it to.
From what I understand, so one of my cousins well, all of my cousins live in Michigan, but one of my like cousins I'm closest to, she's like my age, she's a year younger than me. So I want to say in like 2018, we're all like hanging out and they came to California. So we had like a big beach trip with like the whole family. And so her and I are like obviously taking like Instagram pictures. And I was like telling her how she should like pose and stuff like that. I was like, oh, do this, do this. She's like, Jasmine, I cannot do that. And I was like, why? She's like, it looks like I'm trying to be an influencer and like I will be roasted for that. And I was like, what? I was like, so you just have to like pose like a sorority girl, like, very posed and very like, you know, how like that kind of sorority girls pose very like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, that's kind of like the only way. If people think that we're look like we're trying to be an influencer, like that's so embarrassing. And like, I don't know. So I think that's interesting. Like, I think being in a coastal city, we're really like, we're all influencers. We're all like, whatever, what, even if you are or you aren't. But like in other parts of the United States, it's like, they're so far from that culture that if you are seen trying to be that, it's immediately like the whole town is talking about it. I don't know.
That's funny. I get it. I mean, yeah, showing like, I think that that comes down to inauthenticity though. Like it's not just trying because you're trying. It's not like you're trying like at something you care about. It's like you're trying
right.
And you're doing something that doesn't look like you. And that's
to be
why
someone you're not
weird. Like yeah. It's different if someone has the attitude and those poses look like them. But if it's like, oh, you're not acting like yourself and you're not acting like I think it's more about like the inauthenticity where it's just like your friends see through it and they roast you because they're like, you look stupid. What are you doing?
Yeah. But it's funny because, yeah, I guess we don't have that as much. People like are like, slay. Oh my God, you look like an influencer. That's awesome. Congrats. Like, something also that's very dark that's happening. And this actually deeply upsets me so much. The boys in their grade are making AI nudes of them.
I hate that.
And I hate that circling so much. That around. And my heart literally breaks. Like, it just makes me think of like, there was like a girl in my high school, like her nudes got leaked by this guy. And it was so bad. She got bullied so bad that she dropped out of school and like was homeschooled. Like, it was a huge deal. And so, this isn't even something you can control anymore. Like, it's so fucked up. And obviously, also, very deeply, deeply illegal, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the fact that, like, there's no way... Because, yeah, like, in high school, we would be like, oh, wow, that's horrible. I'm just never going to take a nude. Like, ever.
Yeah.
But now...
they can just make a fake one.
So disgusting. I mean, that's also a huge thing happening right now. There was a huge news story about there was AI like sexual content of Taylor Swift that went viral on Twitter. And obviously Taylor Swift shut that shit down because she is very a lot of ownership over her image and her things. And so now it's funny because people think this may actually help defending against like deep fakes and AI porn, like non-consensual AI porn, because Taylor Swift is like personally involved now, and like now that it's about her, she'll like go to legislation and make changes and whatever. Yeah,
I just don't know how you would ever like stop that, you know what I mean? Like, you could definitely charge someone in a court of, you could definitely write a law and charge someone and have,
I think,
like,
that person
process,
is gonna be charged. Yeah,
but that is a lot of steps, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you would ever I feel like the toothpaste is out of the tube. The knowledge exists, the tools exist, like,
yeah,
I don't know how you would ever stop.
Like, I guess I think it's like, I think there's a lot of different steps it can take. Like, I think there needs to be laws that, like, this is not allowed or legal.
Yeah.
And even if not every person goes to jail because, like, that's impossible to do. There's so many like crimes that are committed daily of every category. But if it's not illegal, then things really run rampant. And there can be like photos of Taylor Swift with 8 million views and like you can't take it down because it's not breaking a law. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I do think like those are really important to put in place. And
I know. Oh my God. There's like my friend and I were talking yesterday just about all the different like stories that were all the like news stories that were not that we hadn't been subscribed to that were like I was like what's going on with the trans kids don't know border don't know like AI nudes not sure like there's so many stories all the time
yeah.
I'm like oh my God like I don't know AI nudes might be one that I don't know if I'm going to subscribe to that one I might need to like reserve that might need to be someone else's problem.
Yeah, I mean, I will provide the like mainstream version of it. I just kind of see what hits the mainstream. But also, I do think they should regulate that these programs can't use nude images to begin with. And like, if they find a program doing that, they like shut them down. You know what I mean? Like, nip that in the bud. I just feel like it's, I don't know.
I feel like it's all happening very
too fast. Yeah.
I just feel like it's happening like kind of, I don't know, like I just feel like it's not like people are like downloading Photoshop anymore. You know what I mean? Like I don't even know where this is like going down, but I feel like it's happening in ways that we don't understand and that aren't easy to like capture, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. Yeah.
It's very like underground. And that's the thing. I really believe like underground dark shit is gonna happen no matter what, but yeah, I do think like mainstream like shit can be
just had a memory of getting in trouble in elementary school because my friend and I printed out an image of the Spice Girls naked because their heads had been like photoshopped onto like naked bodies. So in a way, like
people
have always been, it's like a tale as old as time, like people have always been wanting to like pretend to see. Oh my God, at work I have to do a lot of SEO research and I often am doing a lot of celebrity stuff, so I'm looking up search volume for celebrities, and the second search word for every female celebrity is always nude or naked or whatever, always.
Oh God, I'll be like
Katie Holmes, it's like Katie Holmes naked, or like, yeah, everything.
That's so disgusting, like it's just so violating. And like I don't know. This was like more of a news story like 6 months ago, but there was like this Twitch streamer who like people were making like deep fake porn of her, and she like went on her stream and was just like sobbing. It's just like so fucked up. It's like men will literally do anything to fucking violate you. It's so horrible. Oh my God, I even saw they did deep fake porn of, you know, that little, the climate girl, Greta.
Oh yeah.
She's 19 now. They made deep fake porn of her. I'm like, in my eyes, that is a child still. Like that is disgusting.
Especially because she's like,
she's autistic, trying to save the fucking this way, world.
That I'm like, it doesn't, I feel like you can't get consent because she's not, I don't know. I'm like,
I wouldn't go that far.
I'm like, but I don't think she can give enthusiastic consent.
That's for people who are like deeply disabled, you know. She is like not, she just seems still, like a
there's
child
something
us,
about
you
her
know?
That I'm like, even though she's 19, she still does seem like an adult.
For sure. She's very like, seems very childlike, and like that's why I'm like disgusted that anyone has a desire for this in the first place. But obviously that's the world we live in. They want to exploit anyone and everyone.
Oh my God.
So
my friend just went to this like symposium on sex for women over 40 and wrote like a Substack on it that was very interesting. And I guess kind of the main takeaway was that it was mostly centered on, I guess, kind of like individual pleasure. It wasn't really about like pleasure in the couple or pleasure like together. It was, I don't know, I have to probably should reread it before I bring it up, but it was a good it was a good read. I feel for, I guess I'm about to be on that side of things, but.
And I mean, that's everything I've heard is that women who are the most sexually satisfied are like 40 plus, which makes me very excited to like get old, because I'm like, I don't know, women are fed this narrative that like everything sucks after a woman turns 25, and I'm like, actually statistics show women get happier, better sex lives, like
yeah,
more confidence, you know. So
I know, but there's other stuff too, like yeah. I don't know, I'd love to have like a great sexual renaissance at 45 or something like that.
I feel like it's inevitable. Like, I do feel like it just happens, you know? There's just something about it. I don't know.
I think it does for some people, but I don't know if it happens for everyone.
Yeah.
Some people, I guess it depends. I think they just, yeah, I don't know.
Did you know? I think this is real news. That if you, this is kind of scary, but not really. It's good to know. That phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it. That is true for women's sexual organs. If you don't use your sexual organs, they start to go away. Like the parts that actually make you feel good.
Really?
Yes. Like, that's why it's important. I'm trying to like figure out a censored way to say this, but you guys can all like Google this. That's why it's important if women to for women to like keep up with their bodies and to like do things for themselves. Maybe that's why it's like really big for women in their 40s to just focus on like their own pleasure, because yeah, like your body adapts if like you're not using a certain part. It's like, oh, we don't need this anymore, which I'm like, that's so scary.
That makes sense to me, because I find that like the longer I go like without having sex or something, the long, like I don't feel like I want it or need it, and then when mm-hmm. I start having sex again, it's like muscle memory. That's how I've always heard it described, as like muscle memory.
Yeah,
like then you are like craving it more. It's like something you haven't eaten, and then you eat something and you're like, oh my god, I forgot how good oranges are, now I want oranges every day. Like, and then you don't eat oranges and you're like, oh yeah, whatever, oranges, I don't care.
Orangeasms.
Yeah. But that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Our last piece of, we're kind of just doing a little hodgepodge of news stories. I thought this was pretty funny. Elmo went onto Twitter to ask people how they're doing and was met with a lot of deeply troubling responses. The fact that Elmo's on Twitter to begin with is hilarious. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that feels really like a sign of our times, people trauma dumping to Elmo as a form of content to bond with each other. But poor Elmo can't take the heat, can't take the weight of our suffering.
Yeah, this immediately made me think about how at the end of 2023, everyone was like, this year's going to be good. And then it's like, obviously, this is the first thing that happens. And it's like, this feels like something that could have happened in 2016, 2018.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of those things that's like devoid of like time or place. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. I mean, this is also funny too. I feel like I've seen a pattern with childhood, like content, like comfort childhood content resurfacing for adults. Like, whether it's like a Peppa Pig, it's an Elmo, it's, oh my God, there's this one I actually love a lot. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like a little puppet. And I get videos of it on TikTok and it's like really comforting and like sweet. I feel like with the way adults are regressing so much, like these people are coming back into gear. Like maybe Elmo's gonna have his next wave of fame among like 30-year-olds.
Everyone wants to be a baby.
Yeah.
And no one wants to be an adult because
boss.
No one can see the future. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
I also
everyone
think...
wants to be swaddled and taken care
of. I mean, I think with a lot of our culture being raised in technology and girl boss culture and movies promoting like work, we all wanted to grow up super fast. Like I know for myself, I like was in high school. I was like, I don't even know if I want to go to college. I just want to like go to work. I want to, like, I watched like The Hills and like I don't know. I just saw everyone doing their job and I wanted to like be one of them. So I think everyone, and I see that now with the young generation of like using retinol and like all this stuff, they want to be grown up so bad. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's always been that way, but I feel like it's been worse recently.
I know. Yeah. Why is all, I mean, I, like, yeah. Why does Sesame Street have individual Twitter accounts for all of its characters? That's kind of,
I know, because it's like necessary? Who's on Twitter? It's like adults, you know.
Yeah, that seems like a make, that seems like a jobs program. They were like, okay, we need to come up with some social media jobs.
I want to do that job. Can I be Elmo on Twitter? That would be so funny.
Imagine like the content calendar. Like, okay, and like, on okay, February 1st we're gonna ask everyone how they're doing.
And it's Elmo's third and a half birthday, which
yeah.
Again, it's not again. True because Elmo's been around since the '80s, you know. It's yeah. like happy birthday, Elmo. Yeah, that's so funny. I know, I'm isn't just there imagining. Barney,
isn't there a Barney movie coming out?
Oh, I don't know. Is there?
I think so. And I think it's like dark. Let's see.
Dude, I mean, yeah, also post Barbie, they're making a lot more toy movies for adults. So yeah, there probably is gonna be a huge like regression, like toy regression, you know. Oh my god, Elmo the movie, I would love that. See, even I'm on board.
Yeah. Oh wait, I think I saw a meme and I thought that it was like, oh no, there it's is a news. Barney movie. Okay. Oh, it's a quote A24 type film.
Oh no. Is it gonna be like a horror Barney movie?
I think it's, there... I think he like has depression or something. Like,
oh no, leave Barney like, alone.
You know what would be cool if having depression became cringe? Like that'd be awesome. Yes. Let's stigmatize mental health again.
No, literally. I mean, there are some tweets where like going around, people were like, these are the two tweets that like healed me. It was like one was someone being like, can we talk about how people with ADHD like it's really hard for them to do Halloween costumes or whatever. And then someone like responded to that being like, damn, can you people do anything?
I know.
And so that was one. And then there's another one that was like, someone be like, oh, I only had iced coffee today. And someone's like, wow, that's so cool. Should we tell Bella Hadid? Should we call TMZ? That,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, and people would be like this single-handedly cured my like eating disorder. And like, yeah. my dependency on like these labels to like not do anything, you know.
I was literally last night when my friend was over for dinner, I was like, I'm gonna say something super controversial. I was like, do you think personal responsibility will ever come back? Like,
dude,
like maybe like instead of like blaming like capitalism or like your mental health diagnosis, you could just be like, yeah, that's really hard, I guess I'm just gonna work harder at it. Like, I was like, not yeah. to be all like pull up your pants or anything, but like what if we acknowledge that things are hard but we just kind of like put in more work? Then I was like, is that crazy? Am I being crazy?
I think that's I think like they're both so important. Like, it's important to acknowledge like what we don't have control of, and it's also important to acknowledge what we do have control of. It's like, your life isn't going to be easier as a victim, you know? Like, yeah, there are some instances where it's like, we're all fucking drowning, so we all kind of have to take responsibility for ourselves if we desire to be happy. If you want to just continue suffering forever, then be my guest, you know? But yeah.
And it's also like, I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting to be in a time where it's like everyone has some mental health diagnosis. You know, it's like, I do, that pendulum must swing eventually.
And I like, I don't know, I've been watching a lot of stuff like from the last couple decades in different parts of the world and stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, the problems never really get solved. We're never gonna solve the problems, and that's not like nihilistic or like give up or anything like that, but it's like,
move on.
Okay, so you have to be like aware of your times, and you have to be aware of what's going on and what you're working against, but then you can't just let that paralyze you, because like,
yeah,
then I don't know, what's the point? Like, why are you might as well just,
yeah, know. Yeah, like,
you gotta, yeah, like, you gotta, like, you gotta know what's going on, but then you gotta work with it and like make the most of it. You can't just like be like complaining with no action.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I fully agree. I think like we only do have this life on God's green earth, and we should, yeah, spend it in a way that feels good to us. And, you know,
well, unless, oh my God, I had this, what, spiritual thought that really fucked me up, because like,
oh my God, I want to hear.
And then we can wrap this up. I'll just, because I like, I don't want to have children for a number of reasons. And I kind of was thinking like, okay, like, yeah, I'll, you know, I'll be the end of my line, you know, like this will be, it'll be done with me. And then no one will have to be subjected to this future or these various demons inside of my bloodline, or et cetera, et cetera. And then I had this realization where I was like, right? Then I was like, fuck, like, I don't think, I was like, now I have new beliefs where I'm like, I think I feel a little bit more reincarnation. Like, I don't know if reincarnation is the vibe exactly, but I feel a little bit more like energy just kind of keeps getting recycled. And I kind of am like, oh no, you can't get out. There's no getting out. Like, death is not the end. Like, you're just going to, like, think about your energetic material is just going to be like recycled back into whatever. And like, if the earth is fucked, you don't necessarily get to leave it.
Yeah, it's just so funny, because I told you last week that I had this like spiritual reading, and I like walked in and she was like, whoa. And I was like, hi. She was like, I was just not expecting this. And I was like, what? And obviously I'm like, do you tell this to everyone? But she was like, you are ancient. She's like, you are such an ancient soul. She's like, you have sat.
Yeah, we were texting about this.
So like so many times, like so much like spirituality for like so long. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I feel like I'm like 100 years old. She's like, no, you're so much older than that. And I was like, I'm fucking dead. I was like, yeah, no wonder, dude. Like,
this was your first time meeting this person?
Yes. Yeah, so my friend had a reading with them, and then she like referred me. And it's just like funny. Yeah, I don't know. I also think that bloodline thing is interesting too. I'm gonna tell the audience this.
But that's why I think that Jazz is in the position that she's in. That's why I think she has to face. I think you're an ancient soul who, I think you have to face social media, and I think that the challenges that you have with it, like, I think you're interested in it because, like, it's very exciting and interesting for your ancient soul to be able to connect to so many people at once. Like, that's thrilling and like amazing. But I think it also is very like draining and crazy to you because it's not normal and it's so new and different and like whatever. And I think you're like, I think it's like you're in this lifetime. It's like a challenge that you have. I don't know where you're supposed to go with it, but I feel like it's a battle that you're in or something.
Well, it's so interesting. I was listening to this other podcast by these comedians. They're like, yeah, there's like no philosophers today. Like, there's philosophers in history.
And Jordan Peterson.
And then as they're on this podcast, they're like, wait, are we philosophers? Like,
yeah,
our job is to sit here and talk about the world and like create theories. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like new age philosophy in a lot of ways. Like, I do feel like that is like, I don't know. So I find that to be funny too. This truly is like the new age version of like
pondering, sitting
in a temple and talking to people about how to live their best life and let things go and whatever. We're like, doing that to such a deep, like, digital degree.
I would love to get some past lives reading. I'm curious what's inside.
That would be crazy. Maybe we can find one and bring them on the podcast. Would that be too personal?
Yeah. No, that'd be awesome. I'd have nothing to hide. That would be
really interesting. I've gotten like several past life readings, to be honest, in different ways. It's just, you never know if someone's like for real or not. But there's another one where someone was like, oh, you were this like feminist scientist who like dedicated their life to, I was like, yeah, that, I guess that makes sense. I'm not into science, but I see that in another life. But it's just like, it's just funny in some ways. You're like, what does one do with this? I can't fact check any of this. Like, it's just like,
there was,
okay.
I was watching Housewives and they had someone come and do past lives, and every single person was like a former queen or princess, whatever. And then in the confessionals, one of them was like, no one was a janitor. Like, no one, like, everyone's a princess. Like, how come not one of us was ever, like, no one did, like, no one, you know, shoveled horse shit. Like,
yeah, literally. But
maybe some of them had those. I don't know. That's why I just want to see, like, multiple through. People and see, like, what's the overlap.
Yeah, like, that's the tea of it all. It's like, could we all have done this? But I guess there's a lot of lifetimes. I don't know. Couldn't tell you, to be so honest, but I do think it's interesting. There's some like fears that come up from like past lives. Like, I had one, she said that I had passed in like a giant like crowd, like maybe getting like trampled or just something kind of dark like that. But I'm like, that's crazy. I get panic attacks when I'm in crowds, like deeply, and like, I don't know. It just feels very random, you know? So there's things like that where I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. Like, that has always been kind of a mysterious anxiety of mine.
I think I died like by suicide in the bath or something. Cause I have like,
you don't like the bathroom? These
very, yeah, I have scary intrusive thoughts, and I really don't like the bathroom, the bathtub.
Whoa.
The shower.
I mean, maybe your therapist was on to something.
Was right. I know. But when she said that, I was so pissed because I was like, that's
you're
not.
You're like, you're actually fired. You cannot say that in either. For people who don't remember, do you want to retell the story?
Yeah, I like was telling my therapist that I have these intrusive wrist-cutting thoughts, even though I've never self-harmed. I'm really, 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 really scared of it. Like, I don't want to, it's ever depicted on TV or movies, it really scares me. I don't even like certain words, like, and it is fully related to stress. I have more of it when I'm stressed out. And she was like, oh, maybe you died that way in a past life. And I was like, that's not what I want from you.
Like, that's an insane.
I want to talk about, like, is this maybe an OCD signifier, like intrusive thoughts. Like, that's what I'm trying to talk. I'm trying to get, like, you know, I'm really trying to figure out like how to not have intrusive thoughts, not like maybe they where they came from. I don't need to like.
No, that's just like an insane thing to say. That's something that you like go get like a tarot reading and they tell you about for like $10. Not like you're like medically acclaimed like therapist.
I know.
So it's funny. So crazy. I'll never forget that.
But now I'm on Lexapro again and the thoughts are gone. Nice. My brain's
all right. Smooth. Past life cured.
Love it. Amazing stuff. Yeah. All right.
All right.
This has been a good one. Good chit-chat episode.
Yes, we will see you guys next time. You know the drill. Give us a little rating, a little comment, a little subscribe. That would really tickle our fancy.
Yeah. And
we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.